It's Tuesday, May 30th, 2023, and you're listening to episode 613 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 44 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Julia.
This is Wayne.
And this is Mary.
Sure, going any old or you feel like.
I had a moment of panic. It's fine.
I know, Julia.
Well, no, I looked at her and she didn't say anything, so I'm like, I'll just go.
I know. Yeah. Julia ruined that. All right.
Anyways. No, I was being nice because Mary was like, because Mary forgot, because it's been a while.
No, I'm with you. I saw the deer in the headlights look. It's just like, is it me? Is it not me? Is it me? Is it not me? I don't know.
Okay. I just decided to go.
All right.
And then Julia just went right in.
Yeah.
Saving the day.
I like the hand motion.
The thrusting motion, all the way to the elbow. You know,
this is either a prolapsed anus or a prolapsed vagina.
Can
vaginas prolapse? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Somebody Google that. All right. Anyway,
no.
We're not negative episoding this. Oh,
I jinxed that.
I'm just now fascinated. I don't actually want to know. Like, I want to know yes, no. I don't want the images. Anyway.
I can, okay.
All right, well, you Google that. All right.
I can do a non-image search.
So, update on the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter for Fear the Con 2023 has funded. And along with the Kickstarter funding, also the Wing Night did fund, complete with the food and everything. So, there will be... I mean, assuming things don't go even worse in the world than they already are, that there will be wings and food and all kinds of stuff. And Mikey Mason is locked in, so he's going to be performing a comedy show that night. So once again, we hope to see you guys on
June 15th for Wing Night. And then the convention is the 16th and
17th. 16th and 17th. So that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday for the Wing Night, Friday, Saturday for the gaming. And if you are not signed up on Con Planner, I will link that again in the show notes. Please get out there, post your games. I actually need to post at least two for me. One for backer level and the other one is if you have someone who's thinking about coming but is not a role player, I will once again run a first slot intro to RPGs game. And if you show up to that, you will learn the gist of what it means to play an RPG. And you will also get your first tube of dice. So you will have something to play with the rest of the convention. So if someone is thinking about coming who's intimidated by role playing or doesn't know what it is, or has no idea how this hobby works, then in slot one, I will link it in the show notes. There will be an intro to RPGs game for such people to get a sense of the hobby.
And I also want to point out that people are tagging in the Discord channel kid-friendly games. So if you're planning on running a kid-friendly game, go ahead and because you can't do it in Con Planner yet, but you can post it on the Discord channel for it and say that it's for kids so that people know to look for it and sign up their kids if it's kid-friendly. So just keep that in mind.
So if you're doing that, then be sure to just whenever you announce your game on Discord, and I'll put a link to that as well, to just put at the end of it, hashtag KenFriendly, and that will let people know how to find your game. Now, like I said, in my case, I don't know if I'll post it to Discord or not, but I will certainly post it to Con Planner. So just look in slot one for game I'm running. It'll probably, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking it'll be an animal game like I did last year, but it's going to be that or a fantasy game, something fairly generic and approachable.
Yeah, I've got my three games already out there, but we do need more GMs, more players. It is funded, so it is.
Yeah, it's happening.
At the door.
It's happening. So any money that's going to be spent on this convention is now, apart from hotels and such, only going to be spent on our end.
So one of the interesting things this year, I'm kind of excited about the vendor hall. Because I've seen who our vendors are going to be and what their products are going to be. And I've looked some of them up. And I think we're going to have a really interesting vendor hall. And we have one special table that is being set up. I'm going to work with the venue so we can get it actually in the game rooms on both floors. But Gage from Gaming with Gage and Friends booked out a table and had someone else on his podcast get a table. And they are setting them up as charging stations. So they're bringing in power cables so you can charge your phone.
Smart.
They're bringing in snacks that you'll have on the table so you can recharge for you. chairs there for you to just sit in, and using it as kind of a, in each floor, a recharging station for you and your devices.
Yeah, normally I'm in the back with like my phone plugged in.
Right, yeah, people have to run over and check the phone against the wall.
Yeah, I ask around for cables and no one has them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, depending on your phone. There's always at least one person that's got like the portable printer who's trying to print off last minute character sheets and can't find a place to plug it in.
If they need one of those, I can
bring
mine.
I got to say, outside of his usual Apple crap, Gabe actually made a good choice here. This is a really good plan, Gage.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And if he needs help, make sure he lets us know. We'll bring stuff too.
I also wanted to say, because I think people have been, there's at least one person on Discord who was like surprised to find out that getting there early is not a problem, because there's a secret gaming day before the Wing Night. A lot of people will show up on Thursdays and we'll have games because the space is there. And so they're not official, but there is stuff to do if you get there early.
Yeah,
and
everybody do board games all Thursday. Yeah. It's just not on ConPlanner.
Right.
Yeah. And in the evenings, there's a lot of stuff going on that week too, where people are getting together and playing board games and just hanging out in the cafeteria area.
Yeah, last year I got to learn two new games. Yeah. I learned
that Dice Yahtzee game that we played.
Yeah, I think it's called like Dice Throne or something to that effect. There's like 20 different iterations of it. There's like a Marvel one, there's a generic one, there's, I don't know what all they've got for it, but yeah, it's a sort of like a Yahtzee-ish sort of game, and I can't think of what it was called. It was called something like Dice Throne. And then the other one that I learned, which actually I want to pick up a copy, because it's a really fast play game. It's a board game where you play people in an Old West saloon having a bar brawl. Like in the style of the movie Old West Bar Brawl. It's not realistic.
Yeah, it was interesting.
You throw people through windows and hide behind the piano. Yeah, and swing off the chandeliers and land on people. And it's just like nonsense. It's pure Hollywood nonsense. It's called High Noon Saloon. But the point being that, man, if you want to pick up some new games or just get exposed to things you've never seen before.
So there is a game I'm excited to try.
This is not a convention compared to most, where everything is D&D or Pathfinder.
Yeah. No, there is a board game I'm excited to try, and I'm going to call him out because he will go bright red and be embarrassed. Xylo has designed his own board game. And it is a game where
he's so mad at you right now.
Oh, I know. Really,
like, right now.
I can feel it.
And it's called Xylo Hates His Own Game.
No, Xylo hates attention.
I know. Yeah. Well, Xylo hates basically everything.
I love the concept of it, though. It is a spaceship building game where you start the game building your ship. You have like goals and objectives you're going to based on the ship that you've built and the modules you put in.
This sounds cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to try it.
I mean, I don't know if it's any good, but at least at the pitch level, this sounds really cool. I would totally play this.
So everyone that's coming for the con, ask for Xylo.
Find him.
Yeah, demand that he show you his board game.
It's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if Church or Soul Running Traveler. So ask for Xylo to run Xylo's Zip Yard.
What?
Where you build your zip and send it out on Zimissions.
Oh, that was a stretch.
That was a big stretch.
It was a big stretch. But, all right, speaking of big stretches, this is not one at all. Thank you.
P.S. You can prolapse your vagina.
Yeah, I saw that flash. Oh, so speaking of what? I don't even know what I'm speaking of. This is actually a complete non sequitur. You know what? I'm not even going to pretend there's a segue into this.
We don't need no stinking transitions.
Good Monkeys quote, by the way, for anyone who didn't recognize. I just wanted you to know I did. But so I was thinking about something the other day, and this is kind of a complicated, it's like an umbrella topic of burnout with life, burnout with gaming, just coming out of a period of absolute fatigue. I mean, it's something we've not talked about in detail, but we've talked about the high level that, like everyone else, the past several years have been really rough for us because it wasn't just COVID. It's the world sucks. The job market sucks. Everything sucks. And then there's all the things that are individual of, well, an individual family member got sick or passed away or whatever. And so it is really, really kick the release schedule for the show and a lot of things in the nuts. And that's not per se what I want to talk about, but it's some of the solutions that I've heard people discussing to this issue that I want to talk about. And one of the ones I'm going to start with, and I think, Wayne, I got this from you, though everyone at the table claimed credit for this, was we were talking about online gaming and why we prefer in-person gaming to online gaming, which we're not going to retread. Because I don't think online gaming is a non-starter. It's just not my personal taste.
I do it frequently and really love it. And I still will always prefer an in-person game to it.
Yeah.
Right. I do it a lot because for a while it was the only way to game. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm in. I'm not.
But there's something that while it came out of online gaming, I think possibly could be applied to in-person gaming. Was something that's anathematic to my view of gaming, which is an intentionally short game. And I don't mean a short plot arc. We're not talking about the length of your arcs or your campaign. We're talking about the length of the individual sitting. And you were mentioning that I think it's your wife, Sarah, right? Who's in a game where they only meet for like 1 or 2 hours. Or who is this? Who am I quoting here?
No, I was
I was talking about our friend Kate.
Kate, okay. Yeah, yeah. Kate, sorry. So Kate is in, none of you have any idea who Kate is. Well, we're just saying that name like you would know. None of you have any idea, I assume.
There are a lot of Kates.
She's good people.
Yeah, I have no idea who Kate
yeah,
is.
We have a friend named Kate who's good people.
But
Kate also has ADHD, and almost everybody else in her gaming group does as well.
Yeah.
But they have managed to play a consistent game for years, never missing a week.
But here's the interesting thing.
They session it differently.
Yes. How do they session it?
They play for 1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour.
1 hour.
Once a week.
For 1 hour.
And I was talking to somebody else who I thought said they had someone in their life who's like a 2 hour game. But anyway, that was me, actually.
My online campaigns that I play in have always been, you know, at this point, 2 to 2.5 hours is about right. If it's longer than that, people start to lose interest.
Yeah, which is so anathematic to my historical style of gaming, where to me, a proper game session was about like 8 to 12 hours. So that's obviously entirely too ambitious for an adult life. And so I've come down from that to about 3 to 4 hours. But what I've noticed in those 3 to 4 hour games is, first of all, add in drive times, prep times, whatever.
It's your day.
That's basically your day.
Yeah.
And then secondly, the other thing is that once you are on site, people say, well, you know what? I'm going to be here all evening anyway or all night anyway.
So we'll just screw
around. Might as well just screw around, do this, do that, take a 3 hour snack break, whatever we're going to do. Whereas I had to wonder upon hearing it if there's a sort of, I don't know, backwards or left-handed ingenuity to an intentionally short session. Because if you only have 1 or 2 hours set aside to game,
you have to game
it.
You get on it. You can't kill time.
Right.
You know, catching up or, you know, just.
Yeah, I will say for me also, when I gamed on weekends, 4 hours was the session length I wanted to go for.
Yeah.
When I game on a weeknight where I've got work the next day or I have had work that day, so I'm coming over later, I don't want to do a 4 hour session because I'm already tired to a degree. I want to focus that energy, get that energy out, have that be the condensed energy push, and then go home. And because I need, when I get home, to have downtime.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert. When I'm around people, even people I love being around,
it's exhausting.
I need to decompress. And if we're doing a 4 hour session when I don't get over till like 7 and then I'm not home till like midnight, I still need to decompress.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to say is, like, for example, if I look at the games in my life, right now there's, well, 2 games theoretically. There's 1 game in the and a game that is haunting my house. The game that's actually occurring is the D&D game. And that one, the West Marches game, the sessions, and I'll include breaks in this, they tend to run probably toward the 6 hour range. If I look at the AP, which I'm going to call the ghost of the game because we're struggling along, it is still moving, but we're struggling
a lot. Just it does hard exist. To find.
But that one also tends to run about, it's shorter, but not short. I would say it tends to run somewhere probably like the 4 to 5 hour range. It's not a whole lot shorter. And what happens in those is people show up at a certain time and we jack around for a while and then we eventually play. But the point is that someone may have to leave their house at 6 PM and they're not going to get home till midnight. And there's one line of thought to punching out of that that's very different than, you know, this group is counting on me and I only got to be at my computer from 6 to 7:30. And we're at 6 o'clock, it's roll for initiative. At 7:30, it's here's your XP, we're done. Mm-hmm. And I've still got the rest of my evening to do something else. And we don't have enough time to jack around, because if we jack around, no game happens.
Literally right. None. It also is one of those things where if you have children, you only mm-hmm. have to have somebody else watch them for an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to worry about somebody for the whole night, or, you know, your partner taking on responsibilities that they, you know.
I mean, my kid is a little bit older and like autonomous. She can take care of a lot of herself. So if I had a game, like I might have to pause every once in a while, get her something she can't do. But when she was really young, I didn't game hardly at all because I felt bad leaving her with my husband for that long and him not getting a break. Right. So like, I totally feel that from like a parent perspective.
Yeah.
Being gone an entire day is different than being gone for like an hour, even if it's at somebody's house an hour.
Well, in a financial perspective, you mentioned having someone watch it. If you're paying a sitter,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Mike and I are never in games together with this group, because I need a sitter.
Right? Have you guys, and I think I mentioned this on the show once or twice before, but I don't know how long it's been. But are you guys familiar with something called the spoons, or the thought exercise of the spoons? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thought of a spoon, it came from a thought exercise on the psychological, social, mental investment that's done in any task, and how there's a certain subjectivity to it. And the original story, as far as I understand it, was done with spoons, because apparently it occurred in a restaurant or a coffee shop or something like that. But you could use anything. Assume you have dollars or whatever.
Or spell slots. I've heard it done with spell slots, and that makes it happy.
Let's say you wake up in the morning and you've got, we'll go from spoons or spell slots, you've got $10. Okay, and this represents what you have in you before you are spent, before mm-hmm. you have nothing left but drink a beer and go to bed. All right, that's all you've got left in you. So you're trying to get through the day on that. And for each person, any given task has ultimately what is a subjective or individual cost. Okay, so let's say waking up in the morning. Now, for most people, that may be a 25-cent task. That the alarm going off and startling them, or them feeling a bit tired because they were up too late last night or whatever, is going to take something out of them. But for someone like me, who probably did not sleep the night before, simply being up at 8, 9 in the morning, that may be a $2, $3 expenditure, as opposed to waking up at 1 or 2 in the afternoon because of various sleep disorders I have. The point is that that's an expenditure. All right, now, this could be over anything. So if we're talking about attending a game, mm-hmm. this could be, well, attending this game, let's say from my standpoint, the AP, well, it's at my place. The past two have used my home brews. Well, I guess the middle one in there wasn't a home brew, but I didn't have to write it. I wasn't even running it. And so my investment to be at this game, yeah, it's a 4 to 6 hour time block. But my expenditure for this game, because I don't have to drive anywhere, whatever, okay, it's notable, but it might be a dollar or two. Whereas asking somebody else, say, look, I want you to leave your house. I want you to leave your husband, wife, kids, whatever it is, and come over to my place. And we're probably just going to jack around for the first hour or two. And then because we jacked around forever, but then the game gets going and people are enjoying the game, and that inertia's kicking, and all of a sudden we end up going till midnight. Well, I have to understand that's a $5 expenditure from somebody else. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it could be worse depending on how far you're going. Yeah. So like for me, I don't live that far away.
Yeah, but, like 15 minutes.
But Eric,
I'm a half an hour drive.
Right, when we were doing Skies of Glass, having Eric comes from the other side of the river.
Yeah. But even with you, Wayne, I would still say this might be a different level of expenditure, because if you need that time to decompress, well, if the game ends at, let's just say, midnight for our numbers, you might be home by 12:15. But if you really need that time to decompress, well, that may mean you're still not going to bed until 1 or 2 in the morning, which is going to affect how tired you are the next day. Now you have
negative money the next
day. Precisely. Yeah. Even worse for me, I've complained about it. I think everyone probably makes fun of me for complaining about it now. We game on a Thursday. Thursday night is trash night for me. So I go home and empty all the trash cans, all the kitty litter. and then decompress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't start decompressing till like one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you don't drink, so I don't even know how you do it. But the point being, though, that, yeah, it's a different expenditure for you. Mm-hmm. And so looping back to this 1 or 2 hour game thing, I don't know that this is what I want for my life in general. I don't know if this is even what I want out of my typical game. I am still firmly in the camp of, for me personally, I enjoy, assuming the game's good, I enjoy mid to long game sessions a lot more than I do short ones.
Yes. I am willing to make whatever compromises are necessary to make the game happen.
Exactly.
It comes down to, can I game? Is this the way that it has to be?
Yeah.
Then yes, I'm
precisely. I may say that I think a 4 hour game or an 8 hour game or 12 hour game is better than a 1 or 2 hour game. But you know what's worse than a 1 or 2 hour game?
Oh, not gaming.
No game.
Yeah.
And so I just want to put this out there as apparently it is a solution that while it is not my thing, it is working for a lot of people and people are showing the fruits of its success. If this describes your issue, this might be something that you want to contemplate as a way out of where you're at of saying, hey, I'm just going to only involve myself in these 1 or 2 hour remote games where I can tell my significant other or my other responsibilities that, okay, I'm going to be offline from 6 to 7, 6 to 8, but I'm available before and after that. It's like my whole entire night's wiped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think 1 hour would ever be enough for me.
Right.
But I've come to the realization that on a weeknight, I don't want a 4 hour game.
Yeah.
On a weekend, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But a weeknight, when I've had work before, it becomes that's my whole night. And I don't know. I don't mind saying that's my whole night on a weekend.
Right.
Right. Because you don't have as much money
you're
taking away for it. Yeah. You have more
money for a Saturday.
You have more time that you can devote to this without having it taken away from by something else.
I'm on the flip side of that. That to me, it's in for a penny and for a pound. That I would rather have the 1 or 2 hour game on a weekend because of the fact that it's otherwise a free day, right? I don't work on weekends. I'm a typical Monday through Friday, to use a Shadowrun term, wage slave. And so I do that sort of work. So my weekends are supposedly my free days. And so there's a lot of things that I want to get done on a Saturday, a lot of people I want to see, a lot of places I want to go, and having a game that runs basically bisecting my day and effectively taking away both the first and last half of the day by virtue of bisecting the day, to me is a much bigger expenditure than saying, well, it's a Thursday. I've already worked until 5 or 6 o'clock tonight anyway. I'm probably not going to get anything else done tonight because I'm wiped out from work. Might as well go ahead and game and from 7 until midnight. Because
for me, it makes a big difference as to whether I'm playing or running. Because if you are running a game and need extra time to prepare before the game, then having to go from work to game with no time in between to get ready, it is a lot harder than it would be on a day where you have more time to prepare beforehand.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned bisecting. That's a big thing, too.
Oh, having it in the middle of the day.
Yes, in the middle of the day, I would consider my whole day lost.
Thank you.
But if it's Saturday like night, evening, I still feel like I've had
the early part of the day.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. Even if I've done something earlier in the day, I still feel like it's more free time than during the week.
Same. I'd be curious, like, and maybe people can report this on the Discord, like, pay attention to your Saturday and Sunday games. How much of it is socializing and how much of it is actual gaming is what I'd be curious about.
And put a...
Because maybe you're hanging out for 5 hours, but you're only getting 2 hours of real game time in. I'd be really curious. Because then that would add to our experiment of how is it more productive just to get together for 2 hours then?
Well, yeah, and especially...
And then call that other time social time that has no obligation to be a game.
If you put a stopwatch down and start it the minute everyone has arrived.
Yeah.
Or at the time the game was supposed to start whenever, whichever you prefer. And run it, pause it the moment you start the game. But every single time, the whole table stops gaming because someone's gone for a snack break, a bathroom break. People are talking about something unrelated to the game. Start the timer up again.
Yeah.
And by the end of it,
time is lost.
Yeah, exactly. And I will bet you it is a lot more than most people think. That most people may estimate it's an hour. It's probably closer to 2 or 3.
Yeah, I'd just be really curious that like maybe you're like when you're talking about how you like these 3 or 4 hour games, maybe that's why. Yeah. Maybe because they get intersected with all these interruptions, that if you actually had 2 hours of power gaming, let's call it, you would be better off, you would yeah. like those more because they wouldn't feel like they're taking up as much as your day, like especially on a Saturday. Well, and then you'd have social time, like, you know what I mean? Then you don't only have to hang out with your group too.
Yeah, the only trick though there is that if you have people coming over,
mm-hmm.
you have to fight that natural like
hangout time.
We want to hang out, and so people may start coming over early, so they get a little bit of that hangout time, but then the game still gets pushed back. Like it's a struggle.
Well, yeah, but you could always, like I said, if you dedicate the time and say we are gaming, no interruptions.
Just everybody has to be on board with that.
Yeah, but then outside of that, okay, well, and then afterwards we'll hang out and play board games and drink, and maybe that would mitigate that. So it's like you almost feel like, okay, I have a payoff here. We do get to hang out, but after we're done, you know, I don't know. I'm curious. This is all theory. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's different for different people, mm-hmm. but right. the idea is thinking about it right. and thinking about what you're actually enjoying. Maybe the interruptions aren't a problem and that's how you like the game.
Yeah.
For me, I like the social time sometimes, but I like the focused game time too. And I get frustrated when we're going into something that I want to be a serious game session where we get through some stuff, but we haven't seen each other and we're just socializing.
Everything gets derailed because everybody's catching up. We're talking about what they just watched or...
Because I like both. And sometimes I just want the focused game time.
Yeah.
That's what a con game is a lot of times.
Yeah.
Is you just have like, that chunk of time
only have
and
these
you
4 hours.
Focus.
Yeah.
And when you know that you're running for a certain amount of time and you're planning for it, you can have some bigger things happen.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A lot of my online games lately have been not canceled. We get together and then every thing just becomes the media wank. And like like we realize it's 4 hours later and we don't have time to game.
Right.
So it's a thing.
You know, Wayne, there's a thing about con games, though, that I kind of wonder about, which is now, of course, this depends on who's at your table. But in the average con game,
you don't know the other people.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Especially even at even if I take our own convention, like Fear the Con as an example, I might know some of the people at the table, but I don't know other people at the table. Mm. And so therefore, out of respect to them, that catch up doesn't occur. And even with the people I know, I probably haven't seen or really meaningfully talked to them in some time. And so therefore, it's not like I have that urge to connect with them the way that I would like seeing a close friend, seeing someone right. I see all the time, where it's like, man, you know that crap we were talking about last time? So let me tell you what else happened. Mm-hmm. You know, this is somebody I haven't seen in a year. And so maybe there is a desire to catch up, but it's a little different, especially because in a dedicated weekend of this stuff, you've probably already talked to them sometime before or after the game.
I say that is part of the issue, is that when this specific group of people only gets together once a week for this game, it's the only time they all have to talk.
Yeah.
So that's the time they feel like they have to catch up. And so it's like if you could get together at a different time and catch up and then game the next day, that would be kind of ideal. Yeah, but
isn't that kind of a catch-22, though?
Because
you're basically, I mean, and I agree with you, but because I've been through the exact same issue of we're catching up because we don't see each other most. So let's see each other more. Well, now we've basically recreated the exact same problem on a different day of the week.
Yeah.
Where now we have another day that we're struggling.
Scheduling
we're struggling to get everyone available. We're struggling to decide what to do. And we're struggling to all get together. And of course, because of how Murphy's Law works, now we're not playing mini golf because we're all standing around talking about D&D. And this is the most on topic. I mean, goodness gracious, we will do anything except what we're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
And so we're just standing around yakking.
One of the things I'm going to bring back to my table is I used to do different kinds of traditions on the game to be, this is the signal that the time for jacking around is over and now we game.
You're Bob the Skull.
Bob the Skull and the Dresden game is coming back. Because I have had some of that lately with a lot of socializing, getting back together. And I want there to be time for that. I want everyone to enjoy that. But I want to do something that signifies this is time to start the game. And what I used to do in the Dresden Games was I had a skull that has the symbols all carved on it to look like Bob the Skull from the Dresden Files TV show. I have it in a bag. It is off the table. When I pull it out and set it on the table, that is me sending the message to the table. Okay, now the game starts.
This is the thematic version of writing Recess on the board and erasing letters if people don't start paying attention.
Oh, geez.
Or circling letters, yeah.
Yeah.
That is literally the metaphor you sort of talked about.
This I know Chad that. Used to have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, and once or twice I've seen you do the have the Beethoven over off the table
yep.
and pull it and set it onto the table. Something that is just sends the message without saying, hey, everyone, shut up. Let's start.
Yeah, without being rude.
Yeah. You'd
be passive aggressive.
Yeah.
That's kind of aggressive.
Yeah, that's the kind they can't
send you to jail for.
Right.
Or if you're aggressive, somebody might call the cops. You're passive aggressive. Well, they still might call the cops, but the cops won't be able to do anything, at least in this country.
And why I love Bob the Skull for the passive aggressiveness is I leave it sitting out there within reach of me. And if someone starts talking off topic, I turn it to look at them.
I think it'd be even better like if you started draining. I think you should start draining their fate chips. Like have a little hourglass. And if Bob the Skull's looking at you, you flip the hourglass over. If the last grain of sand goes through, you take a fate chip from them.
I acknowledge that it is 100% passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
It is probably a petty little stupid thing.
Oh, no,
my players enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think
and they would call each other out for doing it.
You know that makes it not passive aggressive.
I never had to say anything.
Anytime you can bring silently judging somebody into a situation and have it be a good thing, I'm on board.
Yeah. I definitely feel like this kind of stuff, though, my view of gaming changed once I kind of like got older. Now, like you were saying, my cash is lower. I don't have as much to spend.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like now, I feel like when I was younger, like you were saying 8 hour, 9 hour, 10 hour sessions. You're like, yeah, let's all get together because we have nothing else to do.
I had fewer health problems. I had fewer mental health problems. But then on top of that, I mean, it's not that I had nothing going on.
Right.
But my life was certainly less complicated.
Simpler.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the things I'm speaking right now to our audience that is, we'll just say 20 and younger.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm speaking right now to the 20 and younger
audience.
I would
do 25 and younger.
Okay, like fine. I'll do 25.
Yeah, I was like college age.
You're getting to drink and hang out and game.
Well, college age, high school age, junior high age. Let me tell you right now, there's a line of BS adults feed you because adults are narcissistic pricks. And I'm just being really honest here. Even as someone who's, I found out I'm not the age I thought I was. I can't do math. So I'm younger. I'm actually younger than I thought I was, but I am in my 40s.
Whoa, what?
Okay, yeah.
We'll talk about it.
This is a whole different episode. I had a conversation with my brother a couple weeks ago and realized that neither he nor I are the age I had thought we were. That we're actually, it's hilarious. But anyways, or sad. I don't know which. But the point being, though, that one of the things that I'm telling you as an adult, okay, is whenever anyone in your life, teacher, parent, whatever, says, wait until you get into the real world. It is BS. Do not believe it. Do not take it to heart. Your struggles are just as real and oftentimes harder to navigate and more intense than an adult's. Mm-hmm. I am telling you straight up, would I like to be young again? In body, yes. Do I want to trade lives with someone who's still in school or starting out in life? Absolutely not.
Just on an emotional level.
Your life is in many ways probably a lot harder than mine. Now, mine is probably more complicated than yours. I have more going on, and I don't have as many resources to fall back on if something breaks.
That's the big one. When you're younger, you have more safety nets.
Yes.
Right.
But the point is the number of pieces that are moving around the board in a day as an adult, they may be more, but they are individually smaller than the pieces I was moving as a teenager.
And repetitive.
Yes.
You know, like when you get into that adulthood, it's almost like you get in a life routine.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, okay, I got my job. I got my responsibilities.
Somebody bullies me at work. There's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
There's no going to the principal's office and hoping they believe you and all this other nonsense. All right. I don't want to bang on this too much, but my point being, younger folks do not let anyone diminish your life, but do also appreciate that while your life is rough, you have probably, and I realize every individual is different, but you probably have fewer pieces to move around.
Mm-hmm. More freedom, less responsibility. You're not the safety net for other people.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
And you
no
probably...
No one's relying on you as much as you're relying, yeah.
Right. And you probably have a lot fewer responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You might have more safety nets, assuming you've got...
Family,
friends, whatever. Yeah. One thing I was going to talk about, though, going back to the budgeting of your day about the dollars you spend or your spoons or whatever, was we were talking about gaming bisecting the day. One of the things that is kind of rough for me because of my messed up sleep schedule is my day is different than everyone else's. Meaning, if something occurs right at the beginning of my day, it is bisecting everyone else's. So let's say, for example, I have a game on a Saturday and we want to do it first thing when all of us are naturally awake. That means we're probably going to start about 3 o'clock p.m. That is. Honestly, so we're talking a game from like 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Now, come 8:30, who the hell is still free? What businesses are still open? I mean, not none, but not many. Right. It's not certainly what you would have if, say, I had a normal sleep schedule where we could game from, let's say, 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. Well, who's free and what's open from 3 p.m. through the rest of the night? Well, that's a whole other half a day. Mm-hmm. But for me, even though the hours I'm awake are still going to be there, the time is gone.
That's always a problem for anyone that works overnights, too.
Yeah.
I've done overnight shifts before, and your days are completely messed up because when you're awake and active, but not working, nothing's open anymore.
Yeah, second shifts are the worst. Second shifts are even worse.
My husband was like, how long was Mike overnight? Like over half of the beginning of our relationship, our dating relationship. We've been together for like 17 years.
I would say it was at least 6 years.
6 years of it, he was overnights. So I totally get that. Like we would have to like find time when I was off work and he was on, like before he went into work.
Kona was the same way.
Yeah, you just get used to it. But yeah, I agree. It was hard to kind of nail him down. And I was fortunate he was off on the weekends. So,
yeah.
So I've also found something interesting over time. It's gotten to the point now that where everyone's older, everyone has all of these responsibilities, and one person canceling is the first domino.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like people are always looking for, like, they may be ready to go, excited, but if the opportunity's there, once that first domino falls, that's never just that one.
It's not always that people are just waiting for somebody else to cancel so they don't look like the But if somebody else cancels or somebody else has something come up and you're like, oh, man, that's going to diminish what we were going to have. And if this is that much, you know, if just that one piece being missing, maybe I prioritize this other thing now because it's not going to be the experience that I wanted with everybody there. Yeah. So it's not even, you know, that you were ready to do something else beforehand. And then this just was an opportunity that somebody else gave you.
It's not even doing something else for me. I will say in my mind, a lot of times it's I'm struggling to get the energy to go out and do it to begin with. Yep. Even though once I get there, I will be fine I will be in the mood and everything will be great. I don't have that inertia going to get there, but I don't want to cause anyone else to not have fun. So I will push my way through it and I will show up, but someone else already canceled.
You know, I think that's actually what I'm going to call this show is the 11th dollar, because there is something that I have noticed being the one who, by virtue of simply the things related to the podcast occur at my place. So I'm always at the locus of scheduling, except, you know, whenever you do a remote episode or whatever. But 99% of the time, I'm the locus of scheduling. I see all the scheduling thing that occur. And one of the things that I've seen is a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, that includes the people at the table, all four of us, but not just the four of us. It includes people that are not on the show, people that have never been on the show, people that were on the show, et cetera, et cetera. And they're always gambling against that 11th dollar of, I am fatigued, I am tired, I am spent, my bank is empty, but if everyone else is showing up, I will show up and do my best. Yeah. I'm going to bet money I don't have on the roulette's table and hope it comes up in a way that I don't lose my house on this.
Well, and I'll be honest, a lot of times for me, when I do that and it's like, I don't have the energy, but I go,
it
works out.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. A lot of times once you're in there, and that's why earlier I talked about the inertia, is because once you are in there, it usually, not always, but usually the game comes together and people have somewhere at least, let's say, a C+, if not an A+ time. Mm-hmm. But getting people, and even the first part of the game, it's like you show up and everybody about wants to die. And then you sit down and you force yourself to start the game and the first 30 minutes, hour, whatever it is just not that great. And then there's this moment where there's this one scene or one person does something and suddenly it all comes together and the whole thing's worthwhile. But we won that bet on the 11th dollar. None of us walked into that place that night full of pep and energy and ready to game. We all drug ourselves in the door, half dead, half asleep, stressed about the laundry list of things we got to do when we get home, whatever it is, stressed about some drama maybe even the rest of the group doesn't even know about. And we do our best, but a lot of times that 11th dollar is the reason we say, you know what, I don't want to play at all. And I will tell you right now, you guys would not believe, or maybe you would, the number of one-off contingency messages I get of, I'm not canceling, but.
I mean, I am destroyed. I will admit I did that last week.
And I'm not judging anyone for this.
Yeah.
No one here needs to defend themselves, because I will say straight up, there is an issue that is not occurring in this group. It's a real issue of people that just don't prioritize the game.
Yep.
And I've had that issue with multiple people. None of them are sitting at this table. And I would say, I don't know that any of them have even really been on the AP. So these are people that I've gamed with outside of the podcast. But I have definitely dealt with people outside of the podcast who are just not prioritizing the game.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a different issue of people prioritize the game, but they're doing that on that 11th dollar. And they are self-aware enough. They know they have overspent themselves. And so they're like, look, if everyone else is coming, I can be there. It's not like I'm getting surgery tonight, but I am dead on my feet. If we don't game, it would be the biggest relief of my life. And as the person who's the locus of scheduling, I'm just going to call us for what it is. Once you get enough of those messages, and you're probably already on the brink of, if not fully feeling that way yourself,
it's easy to
you start to look at the picture and say, wow, apparently nobody's got it in them to game tonight. Why get together and waste everyone's time when we're just going to sit around talking about stupid crap and watching YouTube videos anyway?
Just to keep our mood going.
Yeah, just to keep our mood from totally going in the toilet.
Yeah.
I will say this is one thing that I think Chad is really good at. Chad doesn't do this.
No, he doesn't.
He does not feel like, doesn't have that feeling like we all do. Chad will bring the game together and bring the people together.
No, I will.
In a way that the rest of us don't have the energy to do.
I will absolutely grant that that is true. That Chad is the, if you can get him going, he is the best cheerleader you can ask for. If you can get him going, that's the trick.
Yeah. And it's something I'm not capable of doing.
No, I don't have the personality for it either. I can show up and do my part, but I am not the energizer of the room.
Yeah.
So
I can be when I have the energy, but
well, yeah,
same. All of my personal shit is taking up that energy right now.
So I think we're going to wrap this one up. Once again, check the show notes. Fear the Con is funded. We hope we will see you there. If you did not get in on the funding, that's not an issue. I mean, you won't get any of the backer level rewards, but the convention is free to simply walk into. All you have to cover is your own cost of existing during that period of time.
And you can sign up for Con Planner and run games and sign up for games all without having back the Kickstarter.
Precisely.
It's all free. Just so, go do stuff.
Yes. Participate in the convention. A special thanks to those of you that backed. You made the convention possible. And we will do our absolute best to make sure all the rewards are covered. If you did not back the Kickstarter, please do not take that as a reason you can't attend the con. You are still, like we've been saying, everything is still absolutely free to walk through the door and to play the games or whatever. If you got to stay, okay, the hotel's on you, but the cost of simply walking through the doors and rolling dice, unless someone's running like a draft game or something that requires an entry fee, which that's not on us. From our standpoint, I'm not taking a dollar of your money. So just show up, roll dice, have fun, eat chicken wings, laugh at Mikey Mason's comedy show, whatever. But
buy some stuff in the vendor hall.
Yeah, buy some stuff in the vendor hall, whatever. You know, do what you do at a con, except don't pay for a ticket. And so other than that, have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2023. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.